When I decided, okay, well, I'm going to close things down with Eventually, that's when I bought a one-way ticket to Medellin to try out the nomad life. And I really, really thought that I would be back in New York in like 2 or 3 months. But this journey has been nonstop for 5 years across, I think, 14 or 15 countries now.
Insured Nomads proudly supports the New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads, for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Greetings and welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. We're going to be talking about social networking for travelers. Mita Karaman will be joining us today, founder, CEO of Adventurely. This is an area, Andrew, that we hear a lot about. Is people are excited about traveling to unique places. They're looking for connections. Many of them are solo travelers or adventure seekers, etc. How do they meet other like-minded people? Certainly makes it a much better experience. I think this is a really exciting area, not only for us to explore, but also to hear Mita's story. Herself has been a digital nomad, etc. I know you've moved to some places by yourself with your lovely wife and other opportunities here. It is kind of lonely to go to a really interesting place and not have somebody that you might be able to share coffee with or dinner or get some local knowledge. I love an app that can help us short-stop that process. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a very pertinent topic because people of all different professions are deciding that they can go ahead and cross the ocean, cross the continent to go to a new place for work. And I'm coming in from another country other than my passport country today as we record. And next Thursday, I'm going to an event for executives. I only know one person there and I had no idea that I even knew anyone there. But I was invited, messaged the coordinator, and it turns out he went to high school with my wife and I met him years ago. So it's when you're traveling around the world, you have opportunities to go to networking groups, seek them out. And especially if you can find an app or a community, something off of Facebook, even for those who've left Facebook already or other means. This is going to be a fun dialogue today to see how professionals meet up. Just yesterday, I was watching a dialogue where somebody said, hey, I'm coming to the city next month and I'm looking to meet developers. So they posted that on a social media network saying, you know, if you're a developer there, I'm looking to hire developers in this country. So this is going to be a fun dialogue today. Looking forward to having me down.
And you know what I also think is very important about is that it's a focused social network, not a broad-based one, which I think really allows people to get a lot more support of that. And let's bring Mita in. You know, Mita, you've been working remotely in different countries. If you could tell our audience a little bit about what was the precipitating event that made you really have a deeper understanding of we need this type of support and some of the social networking opportunities. I'm sure it was in your travels, but we'd love to hear your story and how you developed this and your thoughts on the future of social networking for travelers.
Thank you so much. And I'm really excited to be here. I really love what you guys are building at Insured Nomads. So basically, when about a year into my digital nomad journey, I just started to see that the same sort of stereotypical tech sites that you would use, social networking sites, Facebook, Meetup, unfortunately Tinder, just wasn't doing it for me in terms of finding community. And I saw at the same time that there were a number of programs that were growing where people would create community in person, you know, programs like Remote Year, which are wonderful, and Wi-Fi Tribe. But I always just felt like there could be a better tech solution for this. And I really believe that this was going to be the way of life. I think the hard part around this time, so this was, you know, 2018. At this time, nomadism had not gone mainstream. I mean, it could be debatable whether nomadism is mainstream now. I think we're further along in the timeline. But back then, it was still niche to a lot of outsiders. But I just saw like, oh my God, I cannot sleep because everyone is going to be living like this. And we need to create a better community infrastructure. So that was sort of what really just encouraged me to double down on eventually and trying to bring it to life.
Was it part of your own experience? Now, in your background, you've worked remotely in different countries. And I know, you know, depending on different times and different cultures, some cultures are easier than others. Have you found that to be the case also?
I think that there are some destinations that are more just naturally developed by the local expats, the expats and the nomads that are there. You find some destinations where people just on their own accord decided that they want to create some kind of sub communities and events and things like that. And then you go to other destinations where it may not be as developed yet. And you kind of have to be a lot more of a self-starter in that sense to just sort of find your people.
That's one of the aspects I think that tools can come in to aid people, because many times there's a partner that's not as much of a self-starter, while one person may be, or you go through seasons of mental strength where you can go find the people. But other times you need to find them, but it's you're operating from a place of weakness to where you need a tool to do that. And tell us more about the birth and the future and some of the programs that you have at Adventurely, if you will.
Sure. So Adventurely actually started in 2016, and it was a travel premise, but the original premise was around solo travelers, because I had fallen in love with solo leisure travel. What ended up happening was, unfortunately, about a year into our launch, both of my parents had passed away from cancer and complications, and just trying to launch a startup. And at the same time, I was also trying at the time to transition out of my regular job as an attorney into becoming a travel startup founder. It just became too much for me to handle. And it was, you know, as a founder, you know, your startup is your baby. But I realized that at that juncture, it was a little too much for me to handle with closing up all of their, you know, their life issues with their passing and dealing with the mourning. And it was actually those things in addition that inspired me to go on the road as a nomad. So, you know, a year after they passed, when I decided, okay, well, I'm going to close things down with Adventurely, that's when I bought a one-way ticket to Medellin to try out the nomad life. And I really, really thought that I would be back in New York in like 2 or 3 months. But this journey has been nonstop for 5 years across, I think, 14 or 15 countries now. And it was in a year after I had reached my 1 year mark of nomading, I was like, I think I want to bring Adventurely back to life. And I know it sounds crazy to have already closed it, but I see this solo traveling digital nomad, very specific subset that I want to try to bring it back to life with. So as scrappy as possible, we tried to revive some of the old code and went out and tried pitching to investors. And a few months later, we got accepted into the Backstage Capital Accelerator. Backstage Capital is a diversity fund that was founded by Arlen Hamilton. She's a very well-esteemed venture capitalist, great folks, and went into the program. The program was summer of 2019, and we had some wonderful things planned for the fall, which we started going on. We actually launched a giant nomad fest in Playa del Carmen in the fall of 2019, where we brought 500 digital nomads for a month-long conference, basically, sponsored by Adventurely. And we were sort of iterating on the products while getting, you know, feedback on the app from folks that we were sort of nurturing in the community. And then, of course, you know, after that big meetup that we threw, and that was October, so it ended November of 2020, and we all know what happened in 2019. We all know what happened in 2020. You know, it's like, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I just survived my dream being crushed first by losing both of my parents so tragically, traveling the world, having the guts to restart this again, and now you're freaking telling me the entire travel industry is shut down? What? Like, there was zero precedence for this ever happening. It's not like we could point to recent note, oh, yes, this happened to my grandparents. No, you know? So I'm going to try to speed it up. Basically, you know, the first year of COVID was really hard as a travel founder. There were a lot of partners and people that just were very upset, rightfully so, about even discussing travel. They were so triggered by it in relation to COVID. But there was specifically one destination, Barbados, which decided during COVID that they were going to launch a digital nomad visa. So I went down to Barbados. I still tried to grow Adventurely as much as I can. Where we are right now with Adventurely is I feel a lot more comfortable just sort of talking about travel. I think just by showing what's happening in the news, all the airports are being slammed, that we're in a very comfortable place with travel where people have normalized it as a new normal within COVID. We recently launched, when I say recent, I mean like 3 weeks ago, Mexico. And we're basically offering virtual concierge services to help a group of 10 to 20 digital nomads experience Mexico City, Oaxaca, Playa del Carmen over the course of a month with activities that blend work, adventuring, and play. So those, we're already starting to get people fill up for those slots. That's exciting. We did actually decide to temporarily pull the app down while we make some really exciting updates, and we're going to have the app back up slated for September. So that's where we're at.
So for our audience, some of them are not really familiar with what is a meetup. Go a little bit of detail on that, because I know it's an interesting concept, and it's something that I think our folks should know about.
Yeah, I mean, meetups, most people think about meetups within the context of a singular event that maybe happens on one day, happens over the course of a few hours. It's just a gathering of people. We're calling these things a quote unquote welcome meetup, and it's extended over the duration of a month. So a lot of the programs that, it's like, okay, well, we're going to organize your community for a month as a digital nomad in this destination. We're going to cover the cost of your accommodation. We're going to cover the cost of your co-working. It's like an all-in-one package. What I found in the nomad scene is that there are some nomads who like the community parts of that, but they want to book their own accommodation. They're not necessarily always happy with the designated accommodation provider that's included in the package. They may want a little bit more downtime. They may want some more privacy or just control over where they do their co-working, but they really want that community aspect. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to be landing in, Cartagena for a month, and it would be nice to know that, oh, I can hit up these hotspots with my folks. We can work together. We can do these things together, and somebody's going to organize this all for us. So my thinking was, while we update our app and we re-release it for the fall, I think this could be an interesting new service to offer nomads. And it's only been out for 3 weeks, and people have been really receptive to the concept. And so we're excited about that.
I'm going to drill down on something that's a little bit different that really touched me is after you lost your parents, you traveled. And I know many of us have lost loved ones during COVID, but just through life. Why don't you share with us? Because I think it's very powerful, the healing power perhaps of travel or doing something different. Because we hear this quite frequently. Many of us have experienced it. And I commend you for taking that tact and probably honoring your parents every day.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think about my parents every single day. I'm a native New Yorker. And so much of my day-to-day life in New York City before I became a nomad was just so inherently attached to my family. Just normal things. Like it was just too close to just within that first year to have them both gone. It was overwhelming. Everything from riding a bike or going to the grocery or going to the mailbox. And just it was just too close. And I needed to be in a different space to just sort of get through that first year. I just knew that I was not functioning in a way that felt right unless, and I felt like the only solution to that was to physically put myself into a different location. And I think especially in a place like New York, where you're already oversensitized, even if you're not dealing with your own stuff, you're dealing with your own emotions and things like that. New York is just a very, all the senses are there 24/7, the city that never sleeps. So that was very much a healing experience to use travel.
You touch on something, having lost my father this year as well. Oftentimes when living this lifestyle, you miss the grieving process oftentimes by not being able to travel back to a funeral of a close friend or family member, or a wedding, the positive celebrations. You're not there for the birth of a close friend's child, to go by the hospital the day after or something. And you brought up this process that we go through when we're adjusting to life changes, but it needs to be, I think, brought to everyone's attention that yes, we need to be taking care of ourselves mentally while on this journey, whether we're at home or abroad, because the unexpected can happen.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that around the 6-month mark, I started to find the simple joys in life again. And I felt myself starting to start the healing process. There's several stages of grief. And I really felt that at around the 6-month mark that there was definitely a turning point for me emotionally and also professionally. Travel for healing, I definitely recommend it for people.
It really is something, especially when you go to places and you see glimpses of the people, you know, like there's a certain food that you remember sharing. I think, you know, moving to a different mind space on that. During the trip, was there a particular place that you felt helped you more than others, or a kind of a space on that? Because I always love to hear from people what resonates with them on their individual travels.
You know, it was Croatia for me. It was around the 6-month mark. I got to Croatia. The weather was getting warmer. And, you know, I was living as an adult. I pretty much was living and working in Brooklyn. I was born in the Bronx. So, you know, I'm coming from this very urban corporate attorney lifestyle. And I had never seen such simple, beautiful nature as I had in Croatia at that time. And I remember just being on a hill in Hvar and feeling such an overwhelming sense of peace and just appreciation for nature and beauty. And, you know, that I had the guts to try this lifestyle out. I can't wait to go back to Croatia again. That was definitely one of the highlights of my trip and a place that my soul just felt happy and joyful.
It's interesting you mentioned Croatia. That was actually the last major trip I took before COVID was to Croatia, and we drove from Croatia all the way up to Kosovo and then returned, you know, through numerous countries on the way back. And I can understand your thoughts because it's just a beautiful place, but it's a different pace of living. And I, like you, lived in New York where you're always on the move, and it's going to kind of tie together. Isn't it kind of nice not only to go to a different place, but to go to a different pacing of life? And maybe your thoughts on that, because, you know, I was thinking is your meetup app is built. You're going to have different types. You're going to have digital nomads who might be working differently, and you got travelers and adventure seekers, but people are looking for different pacing. And how did that affect you?
Yeah, I think variety is important. So when the app is, you know, when we relaunched the app, and even with the previous version, we would sort of try to figure out some of the top things that people like to do in a destination as a digital nomad. So it would be a mix of, okay, well, these are the restaurants. These are some of the more high-end ones. These are some of the more local ones where you're going to see like a grandma rolling a tortilla, that sort of thing. Or these are the co-working spaces. These are some of the higher-end co-working spaces. These are some of the more budget-friendly ones, or, you know, these are some of the like high adventure, you know, this is going to be kite surfing sort of adventure, or this is going to be like a very easy hike if somebody wants to do that, and just sort of offering a variety of that. But it sort of is pretty much always going to have a working aspect that people can commune on in addition to all of the fun things in a destination.
You know, we've reached a point in the show to where I get to ask a question that I love to hear the responses from. Mita, would you share with our audience an overlooked person, place, experience, even book? What comes to your mind that you think that our listeners should know about?
Yeah. So my sort of nomad, slow-mad base these days is in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. And in this side of the world, there's so much hype around Tulum. And I'm a big advocate for Playa, but there's also one other place in the area where this particular area used to be like the Tulum of its day back in like, you know, the 90s, early 2000s. But at this point, it's sort of underrated now. It used to be the Tulum of its day, and that's Cozumel, Mexico. So Cozumel, I'm not sure if you guys have been, but for the folks who aren't familiar with it on the show, it's a small island, about 40 to 50 minute ride via ferry from Playa del Carmen. And this island also has a lot of history with regard to Mayan Mexico indigenous culture. A lot of really, I've learned that there's been a lot of really interesting spiritual rituals that used to happen here. That there was a Mayan goddess, I believe her name was Ixchel, and she was the Mayan goddess of like fertility and the moon and love, and that there used to be like a giant migration to Cozumel to honor her. And there, if you go to Cozumel, there is a giant statue of her. And a local guide once told me that people go and try to touch the statue for fertility.
Okay.
I was like, not on my agenda these days, but, you know, noted. But aside from that, there's this sort of understated elegance to Cozumel that I really appreciate. It's when I need a quick getaway from Playa and I just want to soak in some natural beauty, I go there. And I think at this point it's underrated, and I'm recommending it to a lot of people.
Very cool. I have a kind of follow-up question to that. Is a lot of the people ask Andrew and myself, where would be a good place for us to work remotely? And I know you've worked in 13 to 14, 15 different countries. Do you have a couple quick suggestions of places that you found that were very convenient and easy? And as we know, the digital nomad visas have made things easier, but you've proof tested a couple different spots. I was wondering if you might share just a couple, if somebody's starting out their journey that they might want to go to first.
I think for people starting out their journey, it would make the easiest thing I would recommend is trying somewhere relatively close to your time zone. So that would mean different things, whether if you're coming from the Americas or you're coming from Europe or you're coming from Asia. For most American and Canadians I'm in touch with who are like, oh, where would you recommend? You know, if you're sort of that techie who likes to network and be around all the cool hipster things, definitely Mexico City. To me, Mexico City these days is just an extension of Brooklyn with more tacos. There's still some really awesome things to do. If you want to sort of experience that cliche vision of you have your laptop with the, you know, the backdrop of the ocean, then Playa del Carmen. If you're in Europe, I mean, everyone is in Lisbon. If you don't want to be where necessarily everyone is, then I would recommend Split, Croatia, more so than Dubrovnik. I thought Dubrovnik was a bit overpriced. You know, there's really high walls. I thought that Split was a little bit more...
very touristy too.
Yeah, it was a bit more scenic. You know, I'm going to say a very controversial thing. I did a brief nomad tour for 3 months in Asia. Didn't get to go to Thailand. I really wasn't that much of a fan of Bali. I know that it's like a nomad hotspot. I was in Saigon and in Vietnam. And for me, I actually enjoyed that more. Long story short, if you're from North America, Mexico City or Playa. If you're in Europe, I would recommend Lisbon. If you're more closer to Asia, I would recommend Vietnam, Saigon.
You know, it's amazing. Our paths maybe have crossed. I spent a week in Saigon once and I thought it was tremendous. I was able to get work done. People are very engaging and wonderful. And even including the history, you know, of the Vietnam War, people have moved on and there's a great infrastructure there. So I actually, Saigon, Phnom Penh, some of the places that you go to, just a tremendous warmth there. So really good. Highly recommend, or a second to your motion on those locations. It was tremendous. So the people listening to this podcast who want to learn more and learn more about Adventurely and yourself, could you share quickly where they could find you?
Sure. Our main site is adventurely.app. On most of the social platforms, we're at Adventurely. Definitely would love particularly some TikTok love since we're trying to grow that new channel out. So yeah, at Adventurely. And then personally, I'm at Mita Karaman. Twitter is probably the easiest place to connect with me these days. I don't really post that much on Instagram personally.
Fantastic. Well, we really appreciate your advice, your counsel, and also really appreciate what you're building, because Andrew and I continue to hear from people. We learn to build connections. People need networking. It's great to arrive with friendly faces or people who understand where you're coming from. So Andrew, I always like to throw it over to you for your thoughts on what did we learn today and what can we take with us in the future?
Well, I must say I had one more invitation casually presented to go to Mexico City. It's on the top of my list. My wife, business partner, has been before and it's at the top of my list. But there's so many things that struck a note with me, and I look forward to seeing these long intensives grow, because I think so many people go out and kind of flounder on their own for a bit. And then they decide, okay, I'm going to buy another plane ticket and go somewhere else before they really engage locally. And this has been one of the strong points that I've taken from this today. How about you, Alan?
Well, you know, I know we moved about, you know, quickly beyond it, but Mita brought up Barbados, and we've had some guests on that have talked about what a tremendous place that is to work out of. I always love when we have conversations and we can give people ideas of places to go. And actually, between Croatia and Vietnam, two of the spots that I would have recommended too. So wonderful there. And, you know, to our audience here, we want people to feel confident in traveling. And when I hear Mita's story about like leaving New York and really traveling, I hope that gives everybody confidence. And I tip my hat for the reasons for the travel too. And it clears your mind and you meet other people. And certainly when we lose loved ones, they want us to be happy. They want us to be growing and we take that with us. So I felt that was a very powerful thought there. So I thank Mita for that. So for our audience out there, we hope that you continue to listen to The New Nomad. People find us by word of mouth. Please pass this along to others. We want people to travel confidently. So we look forward to seeing you in your travels in the future. Thank you for joining us today. And we want to once again thank our guest, Mita, for being with us. Cheers.
Insured Nomads proudly supports The New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.